Welcome to the Family Alpha Podcast, a place where men, families, and the truth have a voice. The information shared on this podcast is meant to be applied. Now, here's your host, Zach Small, founder of thefamilyalpha.com and co-founder of thefraternityofexcellence.com. Let's get to work.
Welcome to another episode on the Family Alpha Podcast. Today, I am joined by Steve the Dean Williams from themanmindset.com. Steve, how you doing, brother?
Man, I'm great. I appreciate being here, man. Thank you.
Welcome to the show. I'm really pumped to have you on. There are many content creators. There are many men out there who are doing a lot of things, but nobody, and I say this now as a challenge to everybody, is doing it at the level that you are just crushing it. The videos, the content, the coaching, you know, the live speeches, that's where we really came across each other, you know, just meeting up at the 21 convention. Yes. You're doing all these things. How are you doing all this while leading the family, being present for your wife? You know, let's just start it there. Where are you coming from, Steve? How did this all begin on your journey to become the content creator, the man, the husband, the father that you are today?
Well, it started at nine when I was, well, okay. Well, it started when I was born, but.
That makes sense. That is a good starting point.
So my father, Ted Williams, I mean, people know him from Fox News. My father, he was kind of a playboy. You know, he was a playboy and everybody was always saying I'm like little Ted. So I got my personality from my dad. And I, you know, when I was young, I was kissing girls and things like that. And I wasn't too sure about what I was doing, but I had a mentor. And the way I met my mentor at nine, he was the neighborhood guy. He had all the women. The women would come to the basketball court. It was like the basketball court was the soap opera, because he would play basketball and the women would bring him food, crying, and all this other drama. So as kids, we were like, can you teach us? You know, show us what you know. And he kept cussing us out. Get out of my face. Get out of my face. Until one day he said, okay, meet me at the block on a corner on Saturday or sometime. And we all got there. And he said, okay, y'all want to learn game? Let's go. Who wants money? That's the first question he asked. Who wants money? And as kids, we're raising our hands. Me, me, me. So he pulls out nickels, dimes, and pennies and throws it on the floor. And he just sits there. And anybody who didn't get down there and grab that dime, nickel, or penny, he said, get out of my face. He cussed him out. I said, get out of my face. You don't want to learn the game, because it was all about if you think it, do it. And what he was saying was, the first lesson was this: that dime and that penny and that nickel is a dime, penny, and nickel more in your bank account. You say you want money, but for a lot of those people, money was the dollar, the five, the 10, or the 20. So, but he was saying that those that think it, do it are teachable. Those who want it more than, you know, they saw the pennies, like, I'm not getting down there for a penny. What's a penny? They're not teachable. That was my beginning process. So throughout that, I went ups and downs. I was a little whorish, a little gigolo, was a little bad. I did all that. And then I got out the game. I retired. I retired from that. Met my wife a few years later, got married in 99. I think it's a 20. We're on 21 right now. Yeah. Celebrated 21 anniversary, but yeah, but for us teaching the late 80s, I was always the ladies man. They called it a ladies man, but you know, and they were always like, Steve, how do you get women? So I was teaching them that, but I wasn't professional. It wasn't until the late 90s where I started charging people for that. Then that's when AOL and Yahoo.com the chat came out. So I got on that. I jumped on that and I started to do a thing called MP3s. It was like MP3s. So it was in the late 90s. And then from the late 90s, I've rolled all the way up to this. So since the internet has gone on, I've been teaching manhood, just staying on my pathway through the PUAs, through the negs and all the books and all that jargon stuff. I've just maintained manhood on my pathway, brother.
So for those who are on YouTube, you can see it now. This website, so I'm at themanmindset.com, and you can just see link after link after link, video after video, audio after audio. When I say that Steve is setting the bar, it's not one of those, you know, being kind to my guests who are coming on. You know, it's a real thing. Like, this is the real deal. So make sure you check out that website. I mean, the content, you cannot find the end. There is no bottom to this. And Steve, I never heard that story about throwing the change down. That's a really interesting. Do you think it's actions like that, though, that have caused men to be in the situation they're in now? Yes. I see you sharing it, and maybe you can help me. You know, I see you sharing there's money in the streets. There's all these things, there's opportunities. One of the things and one of the issues I have in my life is when we grew up, I was with my grandmother. My grandfather had passed away. My father was in the Navy, in and out. So you understand, like, money was not a thing that we really had. Right. Now, growing up, I've sort of established myself. You know, I'm not where I want to be, but we're comfortable.
Yes, sir.
And I'm constantly thinking I've got to intentionally put these obstacles in my children's paths so they don't think that this is just how life is. Life isn't going to hand them things.
Right.
Do you think that a lot of people are missing that lesson your father taught you with that change? They think they deserve so much more than they're doing.
Yeah, it wasn't a father, it was a neighborhood guy, but no.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought that was your dad.
No, not my dad. No, my dad. See, on the other half, my dad was, you're a Williams. Okay, my dad, see, I got it from two ways. My dad was, you eat a hamburger. This is how a Williams eats a hamburger. This is how a Williams walks. This is how a Williams opens a door. This is how a Williams picks up a phone. This is how a Williams eats this. You know, I mean, that's what I was getting that from this side. And then from my other mentor, he was showing me the street game. I mean, because there's two kinds of game. You got book smarts and they got a thing called street smarts. So he was teaching me the street game, you know, the hustle mentality type thing. So that's where I got that. So it was two things coming in. But to answer your question, part of the problem with a lot of people is that they have thought, which is fine, but they don't have action to roll with the thought. Now, they have it on a regular basis as far as going to get a bowl of cereal. I always like to simplify it. Bowl of cereal, turn on a light, or turn a book, 5 pages. It's just, I try to simplify the game for them. If you think it, you do it, and they do it on a constant basis. It's just when it comes to relationships or women, they separate church from state. They think there's something so amazing about women that they have to change who they are. So they're not thinking it and doing it, my brother.
Why do you think that is, though? Why do you think it is that there is this disconnect? Everything's cool, but then a woman comes in, all of a sudden everything changes. Shifting gears. Like, why is that? It's so freaking. I hear it. I get it. But why?
I love it. I always love the why. The disconnect started somewhere, and every man is different. Okay, but there was a connection in the beginning. See, I always tell people two things: that you were born a winner and that you are the only one of your kind in this world. Number one, you got to the egg first. That means you beat out millions of your brothers and sisters to reach the egg, which made you a winner. It was at that moment you were one with yourself. You didn't take any breaks. You didn't say, well, I'll wait till tomorrow. You didn't say, I'll do it next week. You didn't say, poor me. You didn't need YouTube, Instagram, or books to get to the egg, because you had something inside of you that had drive and passion to get you to the egg. Now, when you were born, your fingerprint proves that you are the only person in this world. And what I try to get men to see is single-mindedness. Now, what happened somewhere along the way is that these young men, now think about this for a second, you're going to probably smile, or if you think about your beautiful your kids, put a piece of paper in front of them, give them a crayon, a paintbrush, a marker, and they're in their own little world, their imagination, their creativity, their adventureness, they're just in their own little world, and we've all done that. What happened was, somewhere along the way, there was a change where they begin to name the thing that got them to the egg. See, I don't believe in fear. I think, and I'm explaining this, a lot of guys got a feeling when they got around women. They couldn't understand the feeling. So what they did on a mental level is name it fear. So whenever they got that feeling, instead of embracing it, they suppressed it by, you know, running away from it or just saying, oh, this is a bad thing. But if you think about it, I always feel it's the same. Have you ever seen that movie Wanted with Angelina Jolie and Morgan Freeman? Have you ever seen that movie Wanted?
No.
Okay, you get a chance, watch that. It's called Wanted. But basically, it's the young man that feels like he has anxiety and he's taking pills to suppress it. But once he released it and embraced the anxiety, he was like, like curving bullets and things like that. But I'm not saying that you can curve bullets. I'm just saying that a lot of these men, what they feel is fear. It's really something inside of them saying, get out of my way. If I want to talk to that woman, let me get out of my way. Let me talk to her. But they've named it. And the fact that they've named it, and it's the same thing that they have when they wake up in the morning and they say to themselves, okay, I'm hungry. And I tell God, just tell yourself you're hungry. Your mind will automatically do this. Hey, you know what? There's cereal in the cupboard. You know what? We can go to McDonald's. We can go to Starbucks. We can go to Burger King. And you know what? Okay, let's check time. Okay, well, guess what? You got to be at work at 8 o'clock. Let's see if we make two rights and a left at Dunkin' Donuts versus Starbucks. I mean, that's how the mind works. It just hits you, right? That's how your mind is working for you. That's the same thing that's trying to say, get out of my way. Let me talk to the woman for us. But they don't see it. They think it's a bad thing. So instead of embracing it, they're run away from it because they're putting a woman on a pedestal above themselves and their name.
It was a hell of a breakdown. You know, I'm sitting here, I'm like, holy, yeah, like this is knowledge bomb after knowledge bomb. You're absolutely correct. You know, going back to that point, you know, on giving the kids the paper and draw and let that creativity flow. I thought you were going somewhere else with that. I thought you were going to say that as they age, they start trying to look at somebody else's paper. Well, what are you doing? Because I don't want to share something that's different than what you're sharing. Right. You know, and it's interesting where you went with that. But it's also interesting where my mind assumed you were going, you know, because a lot of the issues I see is whether it's these men with women, these men with other men, you know, and again, bringing a 21 Con as an example, when we're there, you can see it so live. The dudes who are walking around engaging, talking to you man to man, and those who are kind of waiting for you to give them permission to speak. It's a unique thing, but they're looking around like, what am I allowed to, they don't know what to do as men.
Right.
And I can't get over this example of, you know, your mentor who showed you about the change thing. That's the fact that it wasn't your dad makes it even more interesting because now you had another male role model to set an example, which is another tragedy I think we're facing in societies. Men aren't leading the boys, you know, and a lot of men are having to help their fellow man to not help those boys. Where do you think, you know, when it comes to overhauling the self, a man should begin? Where do you think that starts? By themselves, with their marriage and with the home, with, you know, looking inside, like, who am I as a man? You say you're a Williams. Then maybe that's where they got to start. Why do I have that last name? And what does that mean?
Yes. Yeah. And real quick with the last name. Yeah. I always tell guys, we all came to America a certain way. Some of us came, I always say, above the boat, and some came below the boat. It doesn't matter how we got here. We got here. That's the truth. I mean, let's be honest. Some of us got here in our own way. Our ancestors got here. But the one thing about our ancestors is they knew the name, and that's what they held on to, and that's what they were proud of, and that's what they pushed forward, and that's why they had their son and their son. So everyone's listening to this. That's why your great-great-great-grandfather believed in his name, because it's the name that is the most important thing. But it's not just the name. See, a lot of people think, okay, well, if I just say that I'm a Jones, I'm going to get it. No, it doesn't work that way. See, what I learned at 9 is that you must, we in the streets, they call it square, standing on your square. And basically what standing on your square means is that I always tell guys, you have three laws that you have to follow. The first law is the law of the land. Don't kill anybody, because in the first 48, they catch you. Don't kill nobody.
I've seen the show.
Right. Well, just the guys. But yeah, the second law is the law of the road. If it's a 20 mile an hour street, a school zone, and you're going 75 and you get caught, ticket, right? Third law is the law of the job. You go to your job, do what you're supposed to do, and go home, clock in, clock out. Now, outside of those three laws, what people don't understand is they can create their own world in their own way. And before you even walk out that house, you should establish your square. And what your square is your laws, your rules, codes, principles, narratives, mission statement, legacy statement, vision statement of you and your expectations of yourself first before you show your expectations of the woman. But it's not just creating it, it's standing on it. And what I mean by standing on it is every thought and every move that you make, you must own it, stand by it, fight for it, know why you're doing it, and die for it. And if you're doing that, then that means you can't be moved. Because see, when you're when they say when you're moved off your square, that means when element, let's say a woman comes in and you're not really standing on your square, you're going to fall off your square. And they, these women know that kind of stuff. So, I mean, the game is really deep. But yeah, it starts from right there, from the home, brother.
It's interesting that you bring that up in that standing on your square. You know, one of the things I want to do is get you into one of the roundtables we have in the Fraternity of Excellence. So last night we had the men coming together. We had this discussion on frame and you're talking about standing on the square. And last night we were talking about your frame, your foundation, where you stand as a man. You're talking about having your vision, you know, your mission, your guidelines, your parameters, the buoys that you keep your ship between. And last night we were talking about you have to have what you're willing to tolerate, what you accept, what you do not tolerate, how you address that and confront it and enforce, you know, the boundary. Mm-hmm. And it's the overlap there couldn't be any more direct. So when it talks to the frame of a man, when you got to rebuild that house, let's say this man's gone through some shit. For you, you had a great mental model. You had two great mental models from what I'm hearing. You had your mentor and your father.
And they one said, more with the sexual woman, but yeah, but three of them. Yeah, we're good. Yeah.
So you've had many things to look from. You know, you're like the apprentice who's become the master. Some of these men, they have literally us on this podcast right now.
Yes.
How can a man build or even defend a boundary and say, well, this is how I'm going to live from here on. And then somebody pushes against them and they have no peers to help hold them up. They have no one to support and turn to. These men are on isolation island. Do you think they should be reaching out via your YouTube comments? Hey, Steve, my wife, like, how do they start connecting and how do they immerse?
The first thing they got to understand, and I always tell them there's two things very important. Number one, solution based. I'm not problematic. I solve things. I don't have time. A problem to me is a meteor the size of Jupiter heading towards Earth. That's a problem. But anything else that I think it and do it, it's a solution. Because what I teach, I don't teach high tolerance. And what high tolerance is for a regular guy, they just put up, let everybody walk all over them. Some guys that have low tolerance is a guy that muddles between high tolerance and low. That means that some things that they stand on, maybe at their job, they're the boss and the manager and all the other stuff. But then sometimes they'll go home and get walked over. I teach no tolerance. I don't play. I'm like this. How you get it is very easy. It is as simple as turning on a light switch. And let me explain, guys, because again, the game is not complicated. It's just that a lot of people on YouTube have complicated the thing for these guys out here. So what I mean by turn on a light switch is this. I always tell the man to go turn on the light switch. And we have done this all the time. At one time of our life, we've done this and we don't even realize what we've done. You go turn on the light switch. If the light switch does not turn on, you automatically will walk over to an appliance or your TV and turn that on and off to see if it's what? An electrical problem. But if the TV turns on, then you know what? It's a light bulb problem. It's really just looking and solving and solutions. So what they have to do is, it doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter where you're at. You just got to build your square. And this is the square. That means that if I think it, I do it. But what are the ramifications of if somebody does the thing that I say I don't want to happen or the disrespect? What am I going to do about it? See, that's the hardest thing. It's the carryover. It's not just saying, well, I'm not going to let anyone talk to me any old kind of way. Someone talks to you in the old kind of way, you just say, oh, well, I can't believe he or she said that to me. No, it's just like the job. The job, when you come in, they say to you, look, this is what we expect of you. Now, your pay can be negotiable, but that's it. This is the time you come in. This is the time you take lunch. And if you mess up at the job, you'll get a written warning. Do it again, you're fired. You're replaceable. That's it. Do you want the job? And it's the same way. See, I teach selfish, conceited arrogance because it's about me, 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 I, my. And that means that if I have a standard and if somebody steps on that standard, I will give them the warning. Hey, you know, don't talk to me that way or don't do that. You know, that's not cool. You know, chill on that. And if they do it again, oh, I'm done. I move on. It's that easy. It's not complicated. The hardest thing is doing it, brother.
So for anybody listening right now, when Steve came on, I said, dude, we're just going to let it roll organically. And I'm so glad that's the choice we went with, because I love where we're going with this. The exact issue you said there, though, that I think is the hardest and that I think men are having the biggest issue with is making themselves a priority, making themselves someone who is, look, this is about me. And they it's weird, you know, and I'm glad you brought this up. And it's what I really like about your message is there's no fluff. Like it's a lot of applicable. You can apply this today. And that's the type of content I'm all about. I don't want to talk for hours about theory. What can men do? How can they use it right now to fix their lives? And you brought up, you know, the job. Well, they go to the job and they've got it squared away, but they come home and all of a sudden it's off. And in that moment, I want to highlight for anybody that missed it, that means you're doing something. Being a man is not something you do. That's who you are. That's who goes to the job. The man is at the job. That's who goes in the house. The man is in the house. So in case you missed that, you know, I think we've had so many discussions that sometimes it's easy to overlook that point, but that's the point being made there. Yeah. You in any place, you drop me onto the island, you throw me into a mansion, or I'm going to hang out with the Tate brothers in Romania, or you throw me into like the jungle and I'm hanging out with Goldman, you know, wherever I go, I'm bringing me, and me means all these standards go with me.
Yes. And you just hit a nail on the head for those listening. I always tell guys, you don't stand on what you do. You stand on who you are. If you listen, if you want to build muscle because you want to build it. If you want to make money, make your money. If you want nice clothes, have nice clothes. But you cannot stand on things outside of yourself. See, one of the things that I always teach my clients is go to the store and go get a puzzle box. To a 100-piece puzzle box, get the box, dump all the pieces on the table, and rip the box up and throw it away. And the reason I do that is several reasons, very important. The first reason is that I want you to learn how to do the one thing that you don't know how to do, and that's communicate with yourself. First, you take off the mental tricycle, the training wheels, because when we have a puzzle, what do we normally do? We go, look at the box, then we look at the thing. Look at the box, look at the thing. So what I'm saying is throw away the box, and you look to yourself to be the answer, to solve the solution. It's just a solution. And you work, and here's the beautiful thing. You work the borders first, and then you work outside in. And that's just like life. And also it shows you everything takes time. You're not going to be able to put that puzzle together. I mean, there's so many lessons that I learned from that, that I tell guys, this is the beginning of learning you and beginning to communicate with you. Because at that point, you know, don't rush it. Take your time. And then here's the best thing about it. Once you put the last piece in, break the puzzle up and start all over again and do it faster. Because as a man, we are infinite. When you reach the mountaintop, the mountain becomes the floor because the ceiling goes up another level. And as a man, we're infinite. And that's what I try to show men, that you're not going to really become a man until the day you die. Because every day, for me, at 11:59, dog, it's my saddest moment, because at 11:59, I got to let go of the thing I love the most. I love me. I got the guy that I stalk, the guy that I follow, the guy that I'm madly in love with. I got to let him go at 11:59 every day of my life to rush in and usher in the new me the next day, brother. That's how deep it is.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up. We've never talked about this, but that's one of the exact, you know, life, I guess, philosophies I have. Is every time you go to bed, you die. Every time you wake up, you're born. And that past life doesn't matter. It's what you do with this next one. Yes. So you were in the military.
Yes.
I was in the military. You know, I don't know if you played sports, but I'm assuming you did a lot of football. Shit. So you played football in your youth. I played football in my youth. Yet you don't really, or oftentimes you don't hear us when we meet up. Well, back when I was in high school, I was a star, or I was a veteran. I was in the military. I did all these things. It's always, hey, here's what I did last week. And here's what I'm working on today. And here's where I'm going tomorrow. A lot of these men, I think, are leaning back on those accolades. They're leaning back on, well, I made all that money. And remember that time I did this thing and when we first got married. But then you're like, dude, for the past 5 years, you've done nothing. You let your mental strength slide, your physical strength slide, your spiritual strength slide. You let all of your strengths and all those things that used to make you that Mr. Machismo, you got comfortable and you let it slide. And now you're looking back like, well, why am I not being treated like a man? I think, or do you believe that that's also a symptom here, is that these guys don't realize this is a maintaining thing. Back to the point of it. It's who you are. It's not what you, I mean, being a man is who you are.
Yes.
And I say it's not what you do, but I think a part of it is what you do because that's what men do.
Right.
But you can't be like, well, I did this thing. Yo, that award is in the closet. You got to put a new one on the wall.
Well, here's the rule of the game on the streets. You can't play today's game and live on yesterday's scores. And that's what they're doing. And the problem is that as a man, for me, I live in the moment. I am about the moment and pushing forward. Now, the only time I go to the past is when I access information. If I need information, because I store information here. But as a man, when there's a victory, I celebrate, just like the Super, like Bill Belichick. He'll celebrate the Super Bowl that night. Then at 12:01 the next day, Monday morning, he's back in the film room studying and going forward. And see, what a lot of guys do, they want to hang on the old victories and they want to come complacent. They call like campers, you know, they get halfway up the mountain. And because they're halfway up the mountain, they really think they're doing something and they're dying little by little because they're not growing. They're not moving. They're not evolving. And the only thing I want you to learn from your past, meaning that, okay, see, they do it again. It's this how beautiful the game is. They do it all the time, but they don't realize it. It's think about when you were in the second grade, you learn how to count, right? Or maybe the first, okay? And then you know how to add, subtract. You can access, you don't talk about when you were in elementary school at Miss Crabtree's room in math class. Well, I learned 2 + 2 = 4 and I had an apple for the crab. You don't do that because you don't think about it because you know what? You don't live on that yesterday score. You just access the information. If I asked you what 5 + 5 is, you can access the information. Why? Because you trust it, you believe it, and you believe in yourself to what? Own it, stand by it, know why, and die for it. Because you know 2 + 2 can be 4. Yes, there are different ways to get to 4, but 4 is 4. And that's the beautiful thing about staying in the present and moving forward, brother.
So why do you think it's clicking for so many though? You know, why do you think it's, why also do you think it's not clicking for so many? We still have this. I mean, we've been talking about, you've been doing this much longer than I, you know, you are the OG and I'm sitting here like, holy shit, I'm trying to work my way up to that level you're operating, you know, and it's so impressive. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, some things you have coming down the pipeline, but still, after all the content you put out, after the hundreds of thousands of hours you put out there, the speeches we've given, you know, you've got all these other guys, myself entering the arena, throwing our stuff out there. Still, husbands, fathers, sons, brothers are struggling. Is it, and I'm not a, you know, I'll go down swinging, but are we at a point now where we broke critical point or event horizon, whatever, long ago, and we're fighting and we're helping a few, but ultimately masculinity is getting sucked into this fucking vortex? Where do you stand on that in the future of men?
Well, I try to teach single-minded, like the finger. See, the problem that a lot of people are having because of the YouTube era is that you have what I call guys that are content creators, and then you have men. Like you, to me, you're a man. You're not a content creator. You teach manhood. Content creators teach theory. What they guess, they generalize, they say all women are bad and all single mothers and all this other stuff. So what the individual is doing is he may go to your website and get all the great information, but then he'll go to YouTube and listen to a content creator that goes against what you're saying and they butt heads. They don't come together. You see, the thing about the game is that you've got to stay on your square and learn from those that have the successes that you want, versus looking at someone who has a subscriber count. You know, a lot of people today, they say, wow, he's got hundreds of thousands of subscribers, so he must know what he's talking about. And then you could be someone like me that maybe, okay, let's say I have 100 subscribers. Just give you an example. Why would I listen to him? What does he know about the game? He doesn't have a subscriber count, but it's not about the messenger. It's about the message. And see, a lot of people want to see, there's something deeper going on, because people don't understand the economy. If everybody thought like you and I, the economy would crash, because not too many people are going to buy, you know, every kiss begins with K. So, you know, I got to run and get a diamond ring, right? I got to run and get a diamond ring for you, girl, because the TV show said it, because she gave me a kiss. Oh my God. So I got to, you know, that's how they run it. So the society doesn't want manhood. That the society is going to do everything it can to declaw and defang us. But see, what these young men don't understand is some of the content creators are teaching language. I saw the PUAs 2 decades ago. I've seen all the stuff that they're doing back then that they're doing right now. And they're coming up with jargon words. They're trying to teach words and pushing sentences instead of manhood, because every man is different, again, based on your fingerprint. So that means you must learn you. But what happens, you can only be the second best me and you. If because you and I are not a cult, we teach manhood, but there are a lot of individuals that have a cult mentality saying that, let me just give you an example. Ketchup bottle. I'm just use ketchup bottle. I won't say name. Let's use ketchup bottle. So the ketchup bottle nature of a woman is this, and the ketchup bottle thought process is this, and the ketchup, they'll keep pushing the word ketchup bottle to a point where these young men are speaking the same language. Yeah, man, I ran into a woman and her ketchup bottle is this and this and that. And then when that individual gets by himself with a woman, he gets confused because you're following someone else's son. And when that son goes away, these young men get confused, where you and I, we're saying, learn you. And when you learn yourself, you don't need you, us. We're just here to put the weapons on the table. We're not here to tell you what to think. We're telling you how to think for yourselves. And that's the difference, brother.
That is incredible. You know, we teach them to become their own son. Yes. You are your light. You go out there. So let's go further down that. You know, you once had a call. And again, one of the shows I did get to listen to, you know, you guys were talking about somebody called in and they said, look, because of the feminine imperative and because of blah, blah, blah. And you stopped him. And you're like, stop right now. What does that mean? And he's like, well, you know, because everything's around women and it's because he had no idea. He had no idea what he was saying, but he thought if he said it so confidently, it would just gloss you over. Mm-hmm. And I love you do that time again. You're like, what does this mean? This is ridiculous. What does this mean? Toss that out. And when you strip all these fancy things away, hey, you're ripping out all the wires of your house trying to figure this shit out instead of changing that freaking light bulb. You know, flip the switch instead of like, oh, let's check the electronics. Or let's check the light bulb. Like you said earlier, these guys are like, no. We got to find out how the electron is going into the guy. It's the light bulb. Go get the light bulb, you know, but they've complicated existing. And I think that's an excellent point, but I do see that's also an easier point. It's an easier path to take. Hey, show me the way so I can follow your map. And that way you can bring me to the promised land. But guess what? That map maker makes a lot of money making those maps. He doesn't make a lot of money leading anybody.
Right. And that's the thing. It goes back to a bowl of cereal. I mean, when we were young kids, we started making cereal. We either put too much cereal in a bowl or we dumped the milk. So we poured so much milk in it and it spilled over, or we dropped the bowl or we dropped the spoon. And as we begin to perfect building cereal or making cereal, we never go into the kitchen saying, well, the ketchup nature of the cereal box is going to judge me. If I grab the milk, is the milk going to like me or not like me? What does the milk think if I pour it, or the spoon this and that? We don't do that. We go into the kitchen and say, I want cereal. And either you do it 4 ways. You either get the spoon first, the bowl first, the cereal first, or the milk first. Those 4 things. And then what happens is, if there's not a lot of cereal in there, you either find another box of cereal or you find something else to eat. If there's not enough milk in there, you either get something else to eat or you go to the store and get some milk. If there's no spoon or bowl that you can find in the cabinet, you either look in the dishwasher or you wash a bowl and spoon out. That's how simple it is. But what has happened now is that there are a lot of people. See, people are trying to find an edge in manhood and teaching dating. They're trying to get into the area any way they can. And what they're trying to do is reinvent the wheel. They're trying to say, oh, no, the wheel isn't good. No, I got this square and I've got this triangle. Follow me and we'll have a ketchup thinking mentality. And I'll write a book on ketchup bottles. And you know what? And I'm a change your language. I'm going to change the way you think. And everything you're going to say is ketchup, 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 ketchup. And then what happens is, when that guy really finds out he's a snake oil salesman and a fraud, he looks at all of us, you, me, and everybody as, hey, they're all fake and they're not real. See, this is what happened. And I'm in a bad marriage. I got a woman pregnant and all this other stuff. No, listen, Here's the crazy thing about it. They're allowed to produce anything they want to do. It's up to you not to be naive, disillusioned, or gullible enough to believe that you could be a doctor in a day, because that's what they push, just like the PUAs did in the early 2000s, the magic pill. You know, take this back. You know, I used to be like you and I couldn't get women. And then I took this magic pill and look at me now. And they show him a photo with women. And then guess what? It's $97. But hey, guess what? We're going to knock off $70. It's like the squeeze page. And we're going to take $20 off. And on top of that, you're going to get not only ketchup bottle, you'll get mayonnaise packet and mustard packet along with that. And we right now, we got you covered. That's what they were doing 20 years ago. And they're just reproducing it now. And unfortunately, they're doing it on men. And that's the thing I hate the most. That's what pisses me off.
When you look at the metric people should be judging these content creators in. So these guys are hearing you. And they're like, all right, I got it. I'm listening, Steve, but who do I talk to? Who can I trust? Because now I don't trust anybody. What's my personal metric is looking at their life. Like, show me the life that dude is living. You know, does he have a photo or any sort of content or any sort of message about how him and his wife are having a great time or getting after it? Does he have content where he's proven he is leading men to better places? I'm not saying a testimonial or a review. I'm just saying literally, are there men that could be like, hey, yeah, like this dude, I went on the program. He helped me help myself. He built me to work on me, not to rely on him. And that's right. I like threaten the dudes in FOE. I'm like, you are not a clone of Zach. You can't be me. There's right. No way. You will never be as good as me because I'm me. Yes. You got to be you. And I can't be you. You can be, like you said, I could be the second best Steve, but fuck that. I'd rather be just the best me, you know?
Yes. I tell guys all the time, don't believe me. See it for yourself. Listen to what I'm saying. See it for yourself. I don't want you to be me at all. But what I tell these guys, warning signs. If you hear anybody make it about anything other than the man, run, run, run. That's like you going to Camp Crystal Lake. You know there's a murder in there. You keep going back over and over and over again and wonder why is everybody dying around me? I don't understand. Listen, the writing is on the wall. See, a lot of people will make it about everything but the man. They'll blame women. They'll blame trees, houses, birds. Those are the ones you have to run away from. What I do, again, I make it about the man. I don't make it about me because, like you said, I don't want you to be me because I'm still being me. I'm too great trying to be me. I don't want you trying to be me. I want you to be yourself. But the only way you could be yourself is I always bring it back to the man. I always tell guys, there is nothing a woman can do to you. Because I ask them all the time, tell me, what can a woman do to you? Well, she did some other guy wrong. But whoa. If you eat, does he poop for you? No. Well, why do you worry about the next man? Well, the YouTube content creator. Nah, see, there you go. So what I'm trying to tell these guys is you gotta make it about you.
So let's make it about you for a second here and put you in the hot seat.
Yes.
So you've got Man Radio 101 and Man Radio 102 coming out.
Yes.
You have your wife. You've got what you call the hobbits. You got your kids.
Yeah, hobbits.
You got this home. Yes. You've got YouTube, you know, youtube.com/Steve Williams. You've got all these things coming down the pipeline. How are you finding a way to consistently find a reason to push this thing forward? You know, with all these projects, and we could talk about it if you want, you know, especially Man Radio. I'm really interested in that. But every day, maybe I should ask this a little differently. Every day that you wake up, you get after it because that's what a Williams does.
Yes.
For these other men, what do you think could be that carrot to at least get them started and in motion? Because you've been doing this shit for years, brother. Like years and years. And you're still, every time I meet you, I'm like, this dude's still hungry. This dude's still getting it. Even our conversation is scheduled this. I'm like, let's go. Like, he wants to do it.
Yeah. I went to bed at 4:30, got a few sleeps, and I woke up and I was ready to go. But the thing about it is standing, it comes back to the square. You see, everything, look, I'm a broken record. Everything's always going to come back to the man because there's no way it goes to anybody else because it comes back to me. And it's not, listen, I'm not telling people to just get out your bed and be rah, rah, rah. No, again, own it, know why, stand by it, back it up, die for it. Every thought, every behavior. If you don't know your why to what you're doing, you're not really going to do it. And that's the problem. People are just surface level. Oh, You know, maybe today I'm going to work out, because I like New Year's resolutions. Everybody's probably right now has just broken the lie that they said to themselves on December 31st with 50 seconds to go to the next day.
We're not even a weekend. We already broke our resolutions.
Right. They broke their resolutions. Right. Because they're not standing on their square. You see, as a man, I don't look to time telling me to make my changes. I make my changes every day, because when I come home, when I come back to the to or in my kingdom, I look everything over. I make the adjustments, not just for the now, but I make the adjustments for tomorrow. I if I need to access information from the past, I'll go into my vault in my head to make those processes and adjustments. See, a lot of people feel like everything is complicated. It's really not. But see, that's what people sell, the complication, like you said before. You know, like instead of starting the light switch on, you got to look at the atoms, the base times height divided by pi and all this. No, it is very simple. We complicate it because we believe in our mind that it has to be more than what it is. And it's so simple that it becomes complicated, brother.
A lot of these gents listening, I think I'd like to come back to that simplicity. When I first entered the arena of this whole thing, it was 2015, and I was on the Red Pill subreddit, all these things, and I realized, like, I thought I was dumb. Like, maybe I'm just an idiot, because there's such complex discussions going into this, and I'm like, just do the thing. Like just go talk to your wife, like, slap her in the ass, you know, give her a kiss, you know, just go and do these simple, basic things. But here's the theory behind it. Okay, I understand that. But I don't think about how if you and I high five, technically we never touched, because down to the atomic level, we the force pushes against each other. So we're not really touching. Yes. It doesn't matter. Right. What works in the real world? You're touching. This is a touch. You right. know, we don't need to break this down as to why it's not, or find reasons as to why things aren't. Yes. And I think a lot of that comes back to how people were brought up, experiences they've had. You know, we were talking earlier about you had your mentors, and a lot of these men don't. So I'm wondering, for these guys who had to overhaul themselves, maybe they're going to have to drop a lot of the stuff they've carried of overthinking things and always trying to find a giant complicated system, instead of just saying, you know, water's wet. It doesn't matter. I don't care about H2O. I don't care about the hydrogen. Water is wet. It's that simple. Use it, apply it. In your, you know, your father had a big impact on you. Your mentors had a big impact. Is there anything that your father did or taught you that you had to drop at any point in your life? And you're like, you know what? I'm not going to carry that with me to my manhood, my family, maybe the way I talk to my wife or my kids, whatever. You know, is there anything you left behind of Ted?
No, I've never left anything behind of Ted. I leave things behind of myself. My dad can only push me to it. See, the father is there, in my opinion, to just like the animal kingdom, because I always like to take things back to nature, because nature doesn't tweet, Facebook, and all that other stuff. The lion will teach the cub up until a certain point that he has to leave the pride and go on his own. Now, don't get me wrong. The lion is there whenever my dad's there whenever I need to need him for something, always there. But I've got to pave my own way. I've got to make my own path. Yes, I'm a Williams, but I've got to move forward. I can't just stand on my ancestors and my fathers. I got to pave my own way, my bloodline, and what I am to me and to my hobbits, so they can then do the same thing, knowing that I'm going to be there, but be independent individuals that know the name that they can come back to. And that's the thing that I push for, not just myself, but I push for all men, that they've got to know that you've got to stop making it about everything else outside your door. You've got to make it about the man in the mirror. And what most people are doing is they're looking out the, what I call looking out the window. See, any man listening to me right now, if you go to your window right now, just look out of it, you'll see a light reflection of yourself. But anybody on the other side of that mirror will or window will see you as a whole. And that's the problem. That's why I always look to the man in the mirror, because he's the only one that's going to give me an honest assessment of myself.
I love how even when I'm trying to like pry and find something else, you just take responsibility. You're like, no. You know, he taught me lessons, but I had to figure it out and handle like again, real time. That just played out.
Yeah, me, my. It comes back to me.
I think it's a great, you know, I like to hit that point again. when people talk about, well, my parents treat me like this, and my wife treats me like this, and my children, they're all also mirrors. They're reflecting things you've tolerated over the years. They're reflecting your performance as a man. So your wife, the way she's acting, you've allowed that. You created that woman. She would not act like that if you acted differently. You know, it starts with you. And I think that's a strong message that people aren't, maybe they don't want to hear it because it's also an admission that, man, I've done really bad up to this point. But here's the kind of kickback on that. What's the alternative? Are you going to sit here and complain about that for another 30 years and die? Like, yeah, you might have screwed up your marriage, your relationship, whatever, your whole life up to this point. But you can fix it now. Start taking ownership. And like I said, you are the captain. If you were a drunk captain, if you're an absent captain, you still have that hat.
Yes.
You need to be like, all right, there's a buoy there, a buoy way over there. I got to turn this ship around and get back between those.
Your compass.
You can do that any day. Any day that can be done.
Yeah, it's your compass. See, see, a lot of people, it feels good to blame. And that, and I always say that's emotion. That's what women do. Women are drama filled, point the finger, blame. As a man, I expect accountability. I always try to change when I get a call in from someone that says, well, my wife or my girlfriend did this. Wait, no. We got to clean that up. I allowed my wife and my girlfriend, say it right. Because I always have a thing. I need to get a new shirt called "Why Do You Hate Yourself So Much?" That's what I always tell guys when they say this kind of stuff. I say, "Why do you hate yourself so much? What do you mean? Why do I hate myself?" Well, they're not just going to do it, and you didn't allow. You allowed it to happen, but you're not taking the responsibility of I allowed it to happen. See, when you take the accountability and make it on you, again, it comes back to you again. When you put the accountability on you. That's when you can make the adjustments. But if all you're doing all day is saying, oh, she's treating me bad. Oh, she's yelling at me. Remember, you're not standing on your square. And it goes all the way back to the beginning we're talking about. See, when you stand on your square, you automatically know what to do and how to solve it. And the thing that makes you the man versus the male is thinking it and doing it. See, a lot of men know what to do. They just don't have the fortitude or the willpower to do it because they don't understand that one of the most important things of being a man is sacrificing. You're going to have to let now, and you're probably going to smile, dog, because I know there's some women that you had to let go because you had to make that sacrifice. There were some women you probably, there's out of 10 things, there are 9 perfect things, but that one thing was so bad that, you know what? I had to make a Captain Kirk decision. I love your body. I love your curves. I love this, but I love myself that much more. And I got to let you go.
I think that goes in the face of all mainstream media. That is in direct conflict with the message from the masses. But guess what? The masses don't care about you.
They don't.
The masses don't care about your asses. If you want to put it, you know, make it simple and get a nice little slogan
yes.
there.
Yes.
One of the things that I really enjoy about what you do, you know, and it, when you're in a position to help other men, this has to be done. Is like, look, I'm going to say the thing that's going to hurt you. I'm going to say the thing that you might not want to hear, but I guarantee you I'm saying this thing because I care and I do want you to win.
Yes.
And you know, if you have to hate me to win, so be it. I'll be the bad guy. And I see a lot of that. People that are uncomfortable with your message. Mm-hmm. I love when people call in and you guys are just like, hold on, let's bring that back. What did you just say? They're like, oh, blah, blah. And you can hear it in their voice. They're like, oh, he got me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, look, it's confrontational and you don't want to hear it, but that's why you're where you are. Cause nobody else in your life was like, yo, you are cruising towards a brick wall. Get off, take a right. Everybody else is like, yeah, I know you're doing fine. Keep going. Girl power. It's a happy wife, happy life. That's why you're divorced. You're broke. Your relationship's overcritical and you're under fucked. That's right. How you got there because everybody's cheerleading what you've been doing. And then, like you said, I really enjoy that you're willing to have those tough talks. Because the world is not having those tough talks with these men.
Oh, man. Hey, let me tell you something. Even I'm doing a live radio show, the chat room can't even say anything. I won't even allow excuses in my chat room or theory-based thinking in my chat room. Because if I see it, I'm going to bring it to the forefront. I'm going to check it. And either you like it or you don't. I'm not here to be your friend. Like my dad always told me, man, look. I'm your father. I'm not your friend. And this is the beautiful thing. And I'm not trying to be a father to these young men. I'm just saying that there are things that he told me that I was like, I don't understand what, man, I can't stay, you know? And then when you get older, you're like, I get it. Why? because he's been to the places that I haven't been before. So he's seen things that I haven't seen before. So for the regular guy, look, I've been doing this for over 30 years. So I know as soon as you open your mouth, your story, I'm just that good. I can see it like that. And you don't have to give me the whole, well, you know what? There's a good pig and a happy pig. And I don't want to hear all that stuff. Let's talk about you. Why are you? What do you mean? But my story. No. I don't care about your story because your story is what you do. I'm trying to get to who you are. And it's going to be uncomfortable, but I always say F your feelings. My cousin, but I have this mentality, F your feelings, because at the end of the day, life doesn't care about you. The game doesn't care about you. Like you said, the advertisers and marketers, they don't care about you. And the rules of nature is that they're going to pick off the weak. And I'm not calling people weak. I'm just saying you have a weak mentality right now. But here's the thing that they don't understand. The lion is inside of them, brother. And it's the same thing that got you to the egg is still inside of you. You just caged him up. I'm just trying to get you to find the breadcrumbs to get back to the cage, to forge the key, to unlock it. And then once you unlock it, which is, here's a key thing that a lot of people don't understand. There's not just the fear of failure, gentlemen. There's also the fear of success. Because when you unlock and when you take that next step, you're going into unfamiliar territory. And sometimes that's so scary that you want to go back to the safe place because you know it so well. It's comfortable. It's like, oh, man, it's great. No. I want to go towards the darkness, the fire, the caves. I want to create the light because I am the light in the darkness.
You know, when you're talking about that discomfort of the unknown,
yes.
One of the biggest things I try to stress is finding comfort in that discomfort. Because if you look at the word discomfort, it's just three letters, but then you got all the big comfort. You're at comfort. You just got to go through three letters to get there.
Yes.
You know, and to your point, you said, you know, you're not trying to be the father to these men. I think maybe not the literal father.
Yes.
But in the same sense that mentor who threw the change down, you know, made me immediately think, oh, I thought that was your dad, because that's a very fatherly role and masculine role to fill and to a lesson to teach. So too are these men. You know, if you go back to the tribes, it wasn't just their dad. There was the chief. There were the elders, the elder council.
Yes.
You've been there. You've done this. You've gone through. You've helped literally just since I've known you, thousands of men. And then you were, again, doing this well before I was even like knew what was up. So I'm glad I crossed paths. It's made me a better man. It made me a better, you know, not just man, but all the titles I wear as well. Husband, yes. Father, brother, son, all these things.
Yes.
I think there's something to be said about men kind of chopping the ego. I'm like, all right, I hear what you're saying. It is uncomfortable, Steve. You yelled at me about this thing. But instead of shutting down, maybe what if you're right? Maybe I should start looking at it this way. And that's something that for you, I wanted to hear a little bit about Man Radio. So what is Man Radio 101 coming down? You're on Audible and Amazon now. Like, are we in the big leagues, Steve?
Well, I hope I'm, man. I'm starting trying to get in the big leagues. I'm trying to get where you at, man. I'll be like, yeah, man. So no, it's okay. Okay. What's happened now is that, okay, if you look at 2019, a lot of men were having problems with women. COVID in 2020 really pushed the guys back a year because they not only have problems with women, but they have problems with women online. You know, they think just because she has a mask on her face that I can't approach her, or, you know, it's hard to talk to women online and all other stuff. No, what people don't understand, I don't care if it's a bird. If I put a note on a bird, I do a smoke signal, I yell it, I text it, I type it. I'm the common denominator. And that's what people don't understand. See, again, people separate church from state. They think, okay, well, Steve, I can talk to women, but I have a hard time texting. No, you just can't do it at all. You just are lying to yourself because you're the constant. You're the denominator. It's just you're communicating off of thought, right? So what Man Radio 101 is just a podcast of just beginning the process of getting them together, because the carryover is me working on the basics of teaching guys now how to meet women online, because everything's turning online because of the disease. Everybody's at home. Everybody's online. Tinder, app, Bumble, all these, plenty of fish. There are all these things. And a lot of guys still, see, they want to learn manhood, but they want to learn dating. They want to learn relationships. And there, it's a lot of confusion out there because everybody's trying to put round pegs in square holes, and a lot of guys are becoming confused. So that's where Man Radio 101 is, just like a little podcast I'm lucky to do on Audible and Amazon. It's the same thing there. There's a choice they can have to get to it, but I just started doing that. And then I'm also going to start creating for beginners the process of meeting women online.
I don't remember if it was you and Lucario or you and Coach EO, but there was a recent show on, and I think it was, Can Men Who Are Married Teach Pickup or Dating?
EO, yes. Yes.
What was the title? I can't remember.
Can 40-year-old men teach game in today's world? Something like that. So, yeah.
All right. So my question to you, you found your wife before like Tinder and all this stuff was going on. Yes. So how, when men go to this, there's like, all right, you know, Steve, you're telling me to watch what the man's doing. How are you, who didn't have to live through this area, able to teach this? Is it universal aspects to dating? You know, what is it that has you? Because people find reasons. I'm telling you, you're going to hear it. No, who are you to tell me?
And I got to ask.
I want to, let's crush that excuse right now.
All right. I simply asked him, was a line in 24 AD? Was a line in 56 BC? Was a line in 1948, 1464, 1368, 1945? Was the lion? And the lion was a line in the summer, the spring, the winter, the fall. The times change, but the lion is still the same, even though he may evolve in the caveman days, but he's still a lion. So what I'm saying is, stop worrying about the messenger and listen to the message. I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. I'm bringing it back to the man, because the game, see, what people don't understand about the streets in the game, the authentic game, not the stuff that people stole and for the PUAs to try to create. The game was never about women. That's the funny thing about it. It's always been about the man. It's always been about the man. And as long as you make it about the man, that's what draws the women in. It's just a lot of guys see a lot of guys believe that, okay, well, what can a married man teach me about today when the game is still the game? Me being married doesn't, okay, I always say Michael Jordan. Just because Michael Jordan retired from basketball, what, he's not allowed to shoot the ball and do a layup? He's not allowed to teach you how to play defense and dribble? No. Don't look at the messenger, because what I'm teaching, I'm not teaching you to get married. I'm teaching you to do what you want to do. I say, listen, when you want to start a family and all that, I'm not saying do it the right way, because I'm not bringing a religion in this. I'm just saying that do it the smart way. But what I'm also saying is that just because I'm out the game doesn't mean I'm still not in the game. I'm always in the game because I'm always working on my manhood. So being married, that's just a subsidiary of my business. That's just a part of me. My marriage, just like my car. Now, my marriage is more important than a car in this thing, what I'm saying, this analogy. But, you know, my car doesn't define me. My house doesn't define me. I define me every day, and that's where I try to get men to see. Forget the ring, forget the marriage, because I'm going to be the same person with marriage or without.
I dig it, man. I can't tell you how many times, you know, people, well, you're married or you're a dad. I'm like, dude, like, what? I can't even compute how that's a justification to just write somebody off. Like, you should judge the merit of a man's character, not his relationship status.
Yes.
His sexual preference. You know, people flipped out the very first 21 con when they were like photo. I was like hanging out with Goldman, like the playboys, you know. Yeah. Oh, you stand for family. I'm like, no, I stand for men. That's a man. Like,
man.
And I think once people find, you don't need to run with people who justify your life choices or verify or validate your life choices. You need to run with people who want the best for you and are getting the best for themselves. I can trust you, Steve, more than anybody, because I know you're going to tell me the truth.
Oh,
you're going to say the honest thing to me, and therefore I know that's where he stands. Yes. I'd rather somebody give me that truth, even if we disagree. Yes. At least I know where you are.
Yes,
I know you're not sitting there just a yes man, because yes men are the ones who stab you in the back. Oh yeah, everything's cool. I don't realize, you know, the friend who's going to stab me, I can't trust him as much as the enemy that at least is telling me the truth.
Right. And you know, the guy that says, you know, to you, well, you're married. And all that, why do you care? So what does that got to do with you? And that's the, I always get you. You always kill them with that because they always, the first, I always say, this is why you fail. Okay. Yeah. So I'm married. And what is my marriage got to do with the fact you don't know manhood? What is my, what does that got to do? And see, the problem is, again, it's feminine energy that's coming off a lot of these men. And I don't want to knock them for that, but this is part of the problem. Women complain. Women moan. Women are, and they're allowed to do that because they're emotional. They should be doing that. That's what makes them women. We don't need to do all that stuff. We need to be, look, it's teachability. You know what? If I even had a thought, matter of fact, I give you a cheeseburger story. One day I was in the car with my mentor. He goes in McDonald's, you know, he wouldn't feed my cake at, but he went, so he went to McDonald's. He goes in and says, go get a cheeseburger. What? Go get a cheeseburger. And I'm like, well, before I said why, he said, if you don't get your ass out, go get that. I'm gone. See, I went inside to get a cheeseburger, but it wasn't about the cheeseburger. It was about the woman on the other side of the counter that was selling the cheeseburger. But he didn't want me to know that. He wanted me to walk into the situation thinking about cheeseburger, knowing that there's going to be a woman. Meaning, to fast forward, what I always teach guys, I don't want you going out your door looking for women. I want you to go out your door doing what it is you normally do. And if a woman so happened to come into your world, be prepared on what to do. And that doesn't have anything to do with me marriage, because it's not about me. I'm saying you, not me, you go out, you go do what you want to do. And when you see a woman, already have in your mind what it is you want to do. That means preparing yourself before you even go out the door of, okay, like, let's say you're driving. You're like, well, okay, next time I see a woman at the grocery store, this is what I'm going to do. And I call it scribe. So I'm going to lock that information in, scribed it. Okay. So when I tell the guys that I'm married, saying that doesn't have nothing to do with me. When you go out and you see a woman, if you're not standing on your square, it ain't going to work. Because I tell them the women know the game more than most men. And I hate to say that, and it kills me to say that, but the women know the game better than most men because they deal with these guys on a constant basis. And that's the problem. And they don't worry about what we do. Worry about yourself.
No, it's a great answer. And it's a great response to the fact that this is another justifier for not taking action. Oh, well, because you're married, I'm not going to do. Well, actually, maybe you should go take that action and it'll change your life. Again, you're where you are because of the actions you've taken up to this point.
Yes.
You know, I love when they roll in. Yeah, well, you're married. All right, I'm married, you're single, I'm having more sex than you. Why is that? Like, where am I failing? Where are you beating me here? You know, oh, I've got this woman who respects me. Mm-hmm. I've got this job that I really enjoy. Yeah. I've got these kids who are squared away individuals that are freaking awesome and getting after it. Tell me where I'm, like, I'll stop when you're telling me where I'm failing in this.
Yeah.
And again, it's not to validate my choices. If you don't want to get married, don't get married. I'm not saying that. Right. I'm saying you choose and you go forward. And I'm not sitting here saying, oh, you should get married, or that shame on you for wanting two girlfriends. Like, you do what you got to do. You run it and own it. So long as you're doing it for you and not to get that dude online to say, good job, sport, you know, and that's that right there, I think, is one of the most frustrating things, is these guys trying to live lives for the purpose of being able to run to YouTube in a chat and be like, hey, I did this. I'm red pill alpha. What the hell are you talking about, man? You're a man. Like, just go live. This, what we're doing now is only necessary because of the demand.
Yes.
Because there is just so many people who are lost. I would love to not to have been worked out of my job. I'll go write about something else. I'll go talk about something else. But right now, families are so dysfunctional that this is why I'm here. My voice is needed in this market. Your voice is needed. All the men that are coming to you. I would love for us to be like, all right, dude, let's go find something else to do, because all the men have fixed themselves and all these dudes are getting after, like, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. So that's why we're here.
Yeah. It's not real quick. I always tell guys, don't go on YouTube. Look, judge every woman on your standard. I don't care about, see that they've got this thing where if someone gets shot on Mars, by the time it gets to the newsroom, they're going to make you feel like you can't even go to your store because of something that happened somewhere else. When you, as a man, I only look to me. That's my selfishness and conceit. I don't have time to worry about the next man. I don't have time to prove myself to the next man because I'm too busy trying to prove myself to me. That's who I care about. And that's why I always tell guys, stay on your square. See, when you stand on your square, the beautiful thing about the square, real quick, it shows you what you really are, like the mirror. Because if I'm standing on my square, look, we all have haters, but you're allowed to hate me. But I'm allowed to say it's none of my business what you think. Because I don't, your thoughts are your thoughts. I'm not here to change your thoughts, but what you think is not even a thought. I think more about an insect in the grass when I go outside than your thought. I don't think it doesn't faze me because I don't care, because I'm too selfishly into me and I'm standing on my square and building my square this way. I'm building up. And as long as you're doing that, the focus will be on you. And then you can always tell who isn't on their square because they want validation from everybody else.
Yeah, I think that would be a great, mental model to follow, in that instead of defaulting to finding out why you should not be listening to others, default to clean slate with each man. Go man to man. Each one is a clean slate. I go to the man mindset. All right, now I'm going to go check out. He talked to this dude, Zach. Clean slate. I'm not carrying over the man mindset. I'm going to judge the family alpha independently. Clean slate. I'm going to go check out this dude. Not because of what Zach said, good or bad. Clean slate to the next. You see a lot of that carryover, and it's almost, this goes back, I guess, to that feminine energy that you brought up earlier. They're like holding a grudge. He said, and now I hate you. You don't even know why you hate me. You hate me because somebody else said, you don't even know me. You might agree with everything I say, but because of that person, there's little snippets and remarks. Cool. You talk about solutions. I think women, they talk a lot about their problems. They're very problem oriented. I think a lot of feminized men, here's the problems in my life, and here's the problem. When men join FOE, and one of the messages I put out everywhere I can is like, look, I identify your problem, and now we work on a solution. Yeah. You don't get to tell me more. You get one time. Here is my problem. Got it. What are you doing about it? I don't care anymore about the problem. I understand the problem. Just tell me all of your solutions. Oh, you don't have any because you gave all your energy to looking at the problem and zero towards fixing the problem.
But never building your square. See, the beautiful thing about having laws, rules, codes, principles, narratives, and standards is that I'm protecting myself. I'm the firmware. I've already got myself protected, knowing that I demand, and that's what I always tell guys. I say, I don't want to fall in love. I want to fall into respect. That's what I'll fall in love after respect. But my thing is that just because you have a body, that's going to get my curiosity. But the woman has to get my attention. She's got to be worth my time. She's got to give me the following respect. And then if she's lucky, she gets the D-I-C-K. But that's how I see myself, and that's my standard. I just don't give myself away like that. And when you do that, see, that throws women off what I call their circle. See, women are so used to just showing up to the party, pushing up and fixing the makeup and all this other stuff, that men have never challenged women to say, does your character match your beauty? You look good, yes, but what else is there behind that curtain? Like the Wizard of Oz back in 1939, it was a powerful wizard. But when I pull that curtain back, what am I going to see when I pull that curtain back? And when you challenge women that way, that's what gets them to like you more, other than that, well, oh, you're so beautiful. Let me take you out. Let me feed you. Let me kiss your ass. Let me put fruit at your feet. Doesn't work. The game doesn't work that way, man.
No, I love those before and afters. You see a lot of girls like, here's me going to the club, done up, beautiful, a dime. And it's like, here's me in my house, and they're in like sweatpants, and they're jacked up. And it's like, yo, so, it'd be really easy to get caught up in the moment when you're a man who's not, maybe you don't have much attention, maybe you're trying to figure your way with ladies, to see that one girl gives you that opportunity, like, oh, let me buy these things so you're with me and you validate me and make me feel like a big, strong king. Yes. And then they're like, yo, I did not know you were a hippopotamus. I did not know that was what was hiding behind there, Cinderella. So it's important that men make themselves that filter. They have that, like, that lens to see through. Yes. Like, look, in this moment, you've got this thing, which is good. But what's next? Because, look, it's beyond to have any form of a relationship outside of literal in, out, gone. There's got to be something besides just a look.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like, it's absolutely necessary. And again, if you're just like trying to get something for the night and then go, hey, do you, doesn't matter. You won't remember her. She won't remember you. That's your life. Do your thing. But if there is a reason to go back even one day, There's got to be something more than just the look, or else it's total failure.
Yeah, yeah. See, what happened was, if everybody, I always tell people to do the homework. If they do their homework, I think I'll check it on Wiki. It's I think it's August 8th, 2007, or August 6th, 2007. That was a day that changed the world, because that was a day that VH1 played the show The Pickup Artist on air. See, remember, the PUAs used to be underground, the layers and all that stuff. No, women didn't know about that stuff. Once it hit, you look it up on VH1, as soon as that release in August, I think August 6th, 2007, that's what flipped things around, because that's when you got the Met towels. That's when you got the Be On Your Purpose, and all, that's you got the Female Nature, the Hypergamy, and all that other stuff came after 2007, because the Pickup Artists were living so high off the hog that women started to realize, see, women, looks may get your foot in the door, but it's your character and your personality that goes past. And that's what you and I feel that you and I teach. Look, I don't want to hear, well, I don't look good, I'm too short, I'm this and all this other stuff. Look, I'm a black man, I'm short and I'm not in shape. So what? But I pull women. So, I mean, I'm not the best in the crayon, man. I'm just saying, I can pull women. I can spit flavor. There's nothing a man can't say to me. There's not a text message I can't answer, because it's all coming from here. I don't stand on what you see. I stand on what I see here. And that's what you and I are teaching these men. And as long as they follow that and not follow us, keyword, follow what we teach. Don't follow us. Don't look at your life and say you're married with a beautiful wife and beautiful kids, but you know what? How can you teach me this when this guy said this and I should hate you? No, then you're not teachable. Go over there and be, because everybody can't win in this game. And everybody has a role they got to play. And if you make it about what you and I do, then you already failed, and go where you need to go. Just don't come here.
That's a strong point. You know, I mean, really, really think about that. It's There are people who are telling you what to do, and they're saying, I save you. I don't want it. I want you to save you.
Yes.
You know, when you listen to like a lot of your calls, I love the call-ins, man, because you get to hear it live. But these people call in and you're like, look, I can't do this. I could throw you a rope. That's kind of like the metaphor I use. I throw a rope, but you got to climb out of that hole, brother. Here's a resource. Here's a hand, you know, somebody reaching out to you, but you have to climb, and that's hard. And you've got to keep climbing. Your hands are going to get blistered. You're going to get the fires in there. You're going to slip and get rope burned. Sometimes your shoulders are going to hurt. You're going to feel like you're on fire, but you just got to keep climbing. And when you get to the top, you can see me, and now we're peer. Now you're going your way. I stay. I keep throwing ropes to these dudes in holes. You can go about your life. You can just go and do your, you don't need to stay with me, you know, go do your thing. But I think a lot of the men who are spreading the message, you know, are in that position, but there's a lot who aren't. There are a lot who's like, no, you're going to stay in your hole, but I'm going to keep talking to you while you're in it. That way there's hope. You can keep looking up at me because you need me, because I'm your God. No, go do your thing. Be an individual. You know, do not be me. You'd suck at being me. I'm fucking awesome at being me. You would be horrible at it.
Right. Look up 1979, Scared Straight. I love giving history lessons like this because the people need to know. If they look up it's a documentary called Scared Straight. I think it came out in 1979. It was scaring kids. And what a lot of people do today is they scare people. They use scare tactics to make guys fall in line to what they want them to learn. I don't want to scare you. As a matter of fact, I want you to embrace it. I had a guy on yesterday saying, well, I'm starting a business. I mean, that's a long road and it's just real tiring. And I'm like, that's the most exciting thing, man. There's nothing like knowing that there are snakes, poisonous flowers and plants and dangerous creatures in those woods that I don't even know about. Bring it on. If I get hit by a boulder, I wonder, where's the second boulder? Let me get up. That's what it's about. It's about going after the unknown and keep, because we only use like 10% of our brain anyway. Can you imagine if you keep expanding and keep growing? That's why man is infinite. That's why I keep telling you, I always tell guys, I am seen as a man, but to me, I'm never going to be a man until the day I die, because that's the day I stop growing. So that's where I'm going. I am infinite until that point.
It's crazy what happens when men give themselves permission to win. Oh, this sucks. This is hard though. Hey, but what if for one day, just give yourself 1 minute where you say, instead of why me? Why not me? Maybe I can do this. Maybe I can get up. Maybe I can make this. This is awesome. What an opportunity I have to overhaul myself right now. And that's why we do what we do. And that's why I hope these men listening are like, this is not just a podcast to listen to. Right. This is applicable information. This is to be applied. I don't want you sitting and thinking, fuck, you've done enough of that. Go do. And I was trying not to swear. I lost it right at the end. It just came out. But it's like, you start to feel it, man. Like, I want these dudes to win. I want them to feel that, though.
Yes.
You know, you brought up the business thing and it made me think, which a pretty cool concept. I'm 180, I think, 3 days sober today. And I had a thought the other day. I'm in my first year. And this is going to be the best year because it's the only first year. Yes. Year two is going to be cool. Year three, those things will be great achievements. It'll be awesome. Hopefully they'll inspire others that are struggling with addiction and whatnot. But this first year is the first time I get to do this. Today is the first January 6th I was sober. Tomorrow will be the first. Next year, that'll be the second January 6th. But this is the first. What an opportunity I have. And I don't view it as an obstacle or a challenge. It is challenging, but it's also not at all. This is, I made my path. It's easy. This is who I am. It's not something I'm just doing.
Right. But, and listen, I got love for you and I congratulate you and I watch your things and I push you and I'm always your cheerleader. I see you do. I'm always cheering you from over there. I love what you do, but this is why I would say for you on a mental level, you are still an alcoholic and a druggie because you're drugged out on you and your name and you get drunk off of you and your name. And I'm not telling guys to go to the liquor store down and get, no, I'm talking about on a mental level, I am the drug of me. And all I can do with my drug is to give it out. And I don't mean it in a bad way, guys. I don't mean like I don't want anybody to be cracked out and feel like they got to smoke crack rocks to be saying this. I'm just saying that. I don't drink and I don't smoke at all. But what I do for myself, I am my own source, my own resource of pleasure, basically what I'm trying to say. I look to me always. And listen, what's amazing about you is that even though you were drinking, you were still a man. And I don't just because you had a bump in the road, because hey, look, everybody's not perfect. There's going to be a bump in the road, but what makes you a better man today is that you hit that bump. You got off your, I was about to cuss. You got off your butt. You got off your butt. You dusted yourself off and you kept it eyes forward. And that's the most respect. And that is not about your marriage, not about your beautiful wife, your beautiful kids. It's about you standing on your square.
We on that line, there's a man in FOE, we had a conversation and he was talking about how he was going through he was doing the things that we'd have to do. He was doing it all right, but he fell and he got a little jacked up and he had to kind of recover. He had a little misstep in his relationships and everything in life. And he had to dial it in with job and everything. And I was like, dude, if you step back for a moment and think about what you just said, you're on a path and you're walking forward and there's some roots and there's some rocks and you just tripped over them. But you're on a path. You're going somewhere. And that I think that highlights the point you just made is like, look, if you can find your path, like at least you're not wandering in the woods. A lot of men are in the woods. There's no goal. There's no path. They have no idea where they're lost. And they're falling down and tripping and walking in the trees and shit.
Yes.
What we're trying to do is get you on the path. But yes. Getting on the path doesn't mean it's like a nice, smoothly paved road and you're on a nice bike with filled pressure and all the tires and you're just cruising. Like, no. It's a path. you're walking up a mountain, brother. But with those roots, with the rocks, with those little bumps you have, you'll continue in the right progression. You'll continue in the right direction to getting yourself where you want to go, which will be difficult, but at least you know where it is you're going. And I think that's the difference with what we're doing is like, look, I'm not going to pick you up out of the woods and put you into this perfect castle. I'm going to put you on a path. You start walking and day by day, rep by rep, you're going to get to where it is you want to go. And you might stumble. And that's why I'm here in the back. So like, give you a smack in the ass. Go for it, brother. Keep moving.
Well, hey, not even create your path. I just want to put you in front of the forest with some utensils and tools so you can chop the tree down. You can clear out the brush. You can pave the road and you can walk it down yourself. Why? Because it goes all the way. I keep going back, brother. It goes all the way back to the beginning, man. You did this to get to the egg and you don't realize it. You had desire, passion. It's already in you, man, not on you. It's not a piece of clothing. It's in you. And that's what I'm saying. You are 1,000,000% right. That's why we don't make it about us. We try to focus you to make it about you, and you make it about you. And I don't care if it's a wall or a tree or a forest. You have got to get through there your way. You and I are the compass or the wind that will gust their sail. But again, like you said, you got to be the captain, whether you're drunk, sober, high, or happy or sad. You got to be the captain of the ship of your name and your square.
Anybody listening to this right now should be like ready to flip a house over, man. I'm like ready to go. Like, this is like a pre-workout for my brain. All right. I want to start wrapping this one up with a leading people towards content that's going to bring them to where they want to go. And you've got, you mentioned Man Radio coming down. When people are, when men, let's stick with the men here.
Yes.
When the men are looking for content on how to start this process of theirs, where is the best way they can reach you to find your message, your services? And for those listening, you know, I don't say this just because he's a guest on mine. This, we've had conversations that you'll never hear. You know, they were offline. There was no cameras, no microphones. I cannot give a higher recommendation to a man, you know, because I see it. I see the family thriving. I see the business thriving. When you look at individuals, you know, you can tell, like, all right, yeah, your business is great, but your family's a disaster. You're a liar, you know, or your family's great, but you are like not, you're doing horrible in all these other areas. So you got it going, man. You know, like, I love seeing the kids. I love all the success they've been having, you know, like, it's like, bam, bam, bam. They're hitting grades. They're hitting, you know, all these great moments, all these achievements. You're having these good times at the holidays. I can go on, man. So for those listening though, I want to send them to talk to Steve. They like what you're doing. They like your vibe, your energy. Where can they go?
Just go to themanmindset.com, or if you want to get in touch with me, go to themanmindset@gmail.com. Send me your name and send me your number. I will call you myself. I'm not like these guys that sit around and say, I'm going to sell you something and I go away. I want to see it through, and I'm going to push you to see it through. And we can talk for a few minutes, because in order for me to get an understanding and clarity of what you are, I can't just go off of just who you are. I've got to talk to you for a few minutes so we can have, I like to give everybody their own plan for themselves, not something generic. So go to themanmindset.com. We have cooking shows. I show you how to make dinners, desserts. We have a live dating chat line with women on there right now. We have so many things that we add on to the thing, because I want to keep pushing and give you as much free content as possible, because I want you to kick the tires. I don't want you to look at me. Don't believe me. Don't believe anything that I say. That's why when you go to the front page, I want you to look at the results and the receipts of my clients, not me. All those women are not mine. Those are from guys that are just like you, that are watching both of us right now, that feel like they can't make it. I'm not here to make it for you. I'm just here to punch you in your chest and you to get you to make it for yourself. And man, hey, look, I appreciate, man. Look, I just want to say to y'all guys out there, let me just say this. I love this man. This is my guy. This is my guy. Listen, you were the first one. When I went to the 21, I wanted to make sure that I picked you up at the airport first, because I wanted to pick your brain and look, because what you're doing, where you have come and where you're going, regardless of the situation you were in with the alcohol, your sobriety is great. But you got your wife, your kids, and like you're doing the same thing. The proudness that I see in you and your name and your kids and your wife, happy, your kids having a great time. And you, I watched him sledding today. I love you. I love that in the snow. I'm like, that's my dog. That's my dog right there. But that's what I'm saying, man. That's what I admire about you, because you know what? Every man doesn't come packaged perfectly. We come from different areas, different races, but see, I don't see you as a white man. I see you as a great man, and that's what's important to me, and that's why I got love and respect for you, brother.
No, I appreciate that more than you know. It's reps, brother. You know, yeah. I mean, you're living it. You're doing it too. It's just reps and reps and reps every day, doing what's right and not what's easy.
Yes,
you know, and that's how you get to where it is you want to be.
Yes.
Steve, I have links, and for anybody listening or watching, all the links to Steve's content is below. I cannot, again, reach out. If nothing else, you have the conversation. You know, at the very minimum, you're going to have another resource that you can sit and, you know, if you're on the treadmill, if you're working out, whatever, going for a long ride, you can listen to some content that's going to empower you to go out and take action. Yes. And I'm not saying, oh, girl, empowerment. No, I'm saying literally it's going to give you some information you can take and then go do the thing in your life. That's the difference between success. That's the difference between, you know, those who want it and those who are going to get it. Yes. Those who do the thing, get it. Those who don't. Steve, great conversation, man. I'm glad we did not kind of set a path and just let it roll, because I like everything we covered. It's going to be great for the men listening. And those who tuned in, I certainly hope you're taking the information and applying it. So
this is why we talk.
Dude, I was going to say, we'll be doing it again. Yeah, hey, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it, brother.
All right, for everybody who tuned in, this is another episode on the Family Alpha Podcast.
Thanks for listening. You can join our private men's only community at thefraternityofexcellence.com. And don't forget to find Zach on Twitter and Instagram with the handle @ZachSmall_.